I won't take long. I'll take just a few minutes. But the a lot of times it's easy to, if you preach in the morning, you can come at night and you feel like, okay, I can just preach what I preach in the morning. And if you used to hear preachers talk about, well, that's not what's on my mind, and you wonder, yeah, is that really what they're saying? But you know when you can preach it, when you can't preach it, right? You feel it. And I feel like this morning was blessed. I mean, I enjoyed the subject. I enjoyed the thought. When Brother Sam started heading that way and I was sitting down, singing was going, I knew that there's no way what I preach this morning, if he asked for me to take any time, could be what would be on my mind tonight. So then when you get down in the last times, you're trying to figure out what's on your mind, what it is, and that's what made me start to remember about a thing I preached a few weeks back, and it's not hard to remember what we're here for. We're here to proclaim his glory. We're here to praise his name.
Amen.
We're here to glorify him. We can try to make it all different things. We can say all fancy words we want to say, but that's what we're here for. We're here for one reason, and that's to glorify God. So when you get down to that, it took me back and made me start thinking about Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, you know, it says, comfort ye my people, saith God. But go down a few more verses, verse 6. Isaiah 14:6 said, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? The voice of the Lord said, cry. And the one saying, who am I supposed to cry to? What am I supposed to cry? What am I supposed to say? And he says, what is it? He says, when I look out there, all flesh is grass, and all good godliness is thereof a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord both upon it. Surely the people is grass. Verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. You want to know what to proclaim? That no matter how bad this world gets, no matter what's going on over in Israel right now, or in the Ukraine, or wherever place they're having wars that we don't even know about, whatever is going on throughout all this world that's bad, that's going on right here, right around, and we look around and we say it's all turmoil. It's all falling apart. There's nothing good. There is something good. It's right here. It's right here in the house of God. It's right there on your phones that just went beeping all over the place. It's right there where you pull it up. And when you pull that up, it's the Bible that's right there with you. And when you pull it up, you read those words. That iPhone's not going to last forever. The books in which you've had, you asked Brother Sam, I can't even imagine how many Bibles he's probably went through. The Bible isn't the thing, it's the words of God. It's the words that are on there that will last forever. There is no way we're going to take those words out and they will disappear. So when we see all of mass chaos and we see all the bad things that are going on in the world and we get discouraged and we get run down and we're not sure what to think about or what to do, we can say, but the word of God shall stand forever. Amen. And it should bring us comfort. It should bring us joy. When we're really in a bad place and it's really tough out there in the world, you know what we can look forward to? There's a church that meets on Wednesday nights. Around in our area of the country, there's a meeting going on about every week, it feels like, of the year. That will start Thursday night and go Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And right here meets every Sunday night. We are blessed because there is hardly a day that could go by. I guess there's, you know, Monday and Tuesday most of the time, then you might not have church. But there's not a time where we can't find refuge in His house around our area.
Amen.
And there's no better place when the world is just in shambles to come in here to take a break from it. You say, yeah, but it's so bad. It's just so bad out there. Well, you know what? The next few verses down, He's going to make sure we remember, no matter how bad it is out there, how great God is. And so it keeps us in perspective of remembering how big God is. Sometimes I limit God in my mind when I think about what God might be able to do, what He might be able to bless me with, how He might be able to get us through a situation, or how's He going to deliver this person or that person, or how can He even bring comfort to someone who's lost a loved one. And you sit there and you think, how is that? All you're doing is limiting God on how great He is. There is not a situation that we can face that God's not greater than it.
Amen.
There's not a trial, tribulation, trouble, pain, ache. Nothing is greater than the God that we're here to worship today. So you come down a little bit further. He says, lift up thy voice with strength. He said, behold your God. He says, lift up thy voice with strength. Don't be afraid to shout it from the rooftops about how great our God is. Don't be afraid to shout it out that there is no good in man by himself.
Amen.
When you hear someone say, about to talk about the depravity of man, people just kind of shake their head at you. And they think that's horrible to sound and say. This week at work, we had a problem with a customer and he wasn't happy, and the bank was closed one day and things weren't going through the right way. And so he wasn't happy. He said, you can just send me the trailer. I'm going to get the money to you. I said, well, sir, that's not how that works. He said, I'm good for it. I said, I'll tell you. I said, I don't trust really anybody. And he said, well, why not? I said, because Adam ate of that fruit. I said, that's why. That's how bad it is. It goes all the way back to there. And when I said that, all of a sudden, his whole demeanor changed. He kind of laughed a little bit. And he was like, yeah, I can understand that. You know what? He understood it as well as anybody. Don't be afraid to say how bad we are, because everybody around, if you truly gave an assessment of what people are, they would tell you. They know what we are on our own. So he says, shout it with your voice with strength, how great God is and how low we are. It's important to remember where we stand, because he comes down a few more verses. And he says in verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who has meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? He says, here is who is on your side. Here's who we're here to worship. He took all the water in all the world, in all the universe, and everywhere there might be water. I don't know, the sky, the seas, the lakes, everywhere, he put it in the hollow of his hand. That's who we're here to worship tonight. When you're sitting there and you're struggling and you're feeling like you're about ready to start an overwhelming week, or you're not sure how you're going to get through this next trial, you just stop there and you remember, put out your hand and say, God, who is on my side, held all the water in everywhere there is in the hollow of his hand.
Amen.
That's who's on my side.
Amen.
When you look at that, you go into a place and maybe you're in a bad situation. You know, I used to have a mouth that would get me in trouble. Well, I guess, I mean, I still kind of do, but it would get me into some trouble. So when I would go somewhere with a bunch of people, I would automatically be looking around, seeing if I knew who the biggest person in the room was, hoping that I knew who that person was. Because if he was on my side, I knew I was less likely to get in trouble. You always have the biggest one on your side. You always have him on your side when you go into any situation. He says, he put out his hand and he measured the heavens. He could comprehend the dust of the earth. He knew every little piece of it. The other week I was thinking about it. I thought of Laura's grandma. When it said he could comprehend the dust of the earth, and most of you won't understand it, but it's just, she would be sitting there on her sofa, and she had a spotless house. But there would be one little speck of something. I mean, you couldn't even see it. You think sometimes she just got up just because it was, I don't know, but you don't know if she actually could see something. But she would get up, she'd go pick it up, and she would go throw it away. And that's what I feel like. That's what God does with every little piece of dust and sand throughout all the world. That he can just, boop, I know that one. I see this is out of place. It reminds me of her because she could see anything that was out of place. She could go up there, pinch it with her fingers, and throw it away. The Lord can do that with every piece of dust. That's who is on our side. He takes the mountains and the hills and he weighs them. He says, I've got this covered. So when we're going there and we're facing it, we know who's on our side. He's the greatest one of them all. When you think about trusting in ourselves or relying on us and what we're supposed to proclaim because of how bad we are, he says, don't worry about it. The word of God stands forever. He says, this is how great he is. Comes down another verse and he says, talking about God who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord and being his counselor hath taught him, or who being his counselor hath taught him, with whom he took counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him in knowledge and showed him the ways of understanding. He said, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? He said, the one that we're here to proclaim, the one that we're here to worship and to glorify is the one that directs the Spirit of the Lord. It's not us by coming down and saying, Lord, we're asking you to come into our hearts that you can do something for us. And now we have become the director of the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
He says, that's not how it works. I direct the Spirit of the Lord. That's who's on our side. Now, if you had the power, if Brother Sam had the power to come up here and direct the Spirit of the Lord, the dynamic of everything would change. The dynamic would change because you wouldn't be here worshiping the Lord. You'd be here worshiping Brother Sam because it had the power to direct the Spirit of the Lord. He says, who being his counselor hath taught him? The world in which we live makes it seem like that we have something that we are going to teach the Lord about. Lord, I have decided that it's time that I become your child. I become a child of yours. I've decided. Now, how many of us that were born here tonight decided when we were going to be born? How many of us decided who was going to be our parents? None of us.
No.
We don't get that say. It's the same thing. It works the same way with the Lord and his children. There's no say in it. We don't get a say. We don't have that. There was none that counseled him and none that taught him. He looked at Job and said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? He said, you know, I picture that. It's the Lord scratching his head, looking down at Job going, who do you think you are? Where were you? When I was back and spoke it into existence, were you even there? Oh, no, you weren't there. That's how you picture, you remember that God is that great. His name is Counselor. Not just a counselor or could be a counselor. It tells us over there in Isaiah that his name is Counselor. It's one of his names that he's given. That's how great he is. That's who we're here to worship tonight.
Amen.
That's who's on our side.
Amen.
He says, with whom took he counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? So he said, where would I have gotten any of this? There's no one bigger than me, so where does it come from? Who does it? If God relied on somebody or something to be counseled by or to be taught by or to be directed by, then what we would have to do is we'd have to reevaluate and say, wait a second, I want to go to find out who is directing God and counseling him, and that's who I want to worship. You say, well, that, of course, everybody would believe that. No, because the world in which we live is around us all the time, making us believe that we can direct God, we can counsel God, we can dictate to God where he needs to be, who he needs to love. You know, that's why he gives us, he says, you love me not because you chose to love me, not because you made a decision to do it, not because you've asked me to. You love me because I first loved you.
Amen.
That's how great he is. He does not want to ever share anything of his glory with any of us. Why? Because we're but grass. We wither. We fade away. He said, but the word of God stands forever. The one that we're here today is so great and so powerful and above all else that he says, I don't want anything to be compared to me. And I'll stop. He says in verse 18 and 25 say pretty much the same thing. He says, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Verse 25 says, to whom then will you liken me? Or who shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Make sure in our lives that we don't put things that we liken unto the Lord and put on the same level as God. There's a few spots throughout scripture over in Samuel when the Ark of God, Ark of Covenant, is sitting in there with a false God. You know what happens to that false God? It gets knocked over. It falls over, gets his hands cut off, his head cut off, and you know, you would think that the eyes of the people around would have said, ooh, something's not right. I want to follow that one. I want to follow that one that is able to knock down our God, that is able to cut off its hands and cut off its head. I want to follow that one. You know what they did? They said, let's get this out of the way. Let's move this. Well, you know what I picture and I see in that is a picture of when the Bible, and you see, you teach someone or someone sees it, the Lord blesses them to see the truth about salvation. A lot of times they don't just embrace it. You know what they do? They say, well, there's got to be some way to change that. We got to reword that. There's Bibles nowadays that take out words that people maybe don't like. Doesn't fit the way that they believe. So instead of going with what they see to know that makes sense and to be true, they say, oh, let's just change it. Let's change the verbiage. Let's change the words. Let's change that around because it's better to stick with what we have. If it's knocking, God's knocking it down and he's destroying it, I want to go with the one that is there. If I was to think that there was a religion or a faith or a belief out there that was greater than this one right here, that was more in line and more in sync and was the truth, closer than what this is right here, that's where I would hope that I would want to be. That I would look at my wife who's been Friend and Baptist her whole life, and I would look at her and say, look, this is right. And what you're believing is not right. I would hope that I would stop and say, let's go to the truth. Let's go over there and file that. But you know why I'm here? Because I searched and I looked and the Lord blessed me to see that this was the truth. That this is the word of God that shall stand forever, and I'm not afraid to proclaim it. He said, you do it with a loud voice. He said, you make sure you get to the mountaintops and you shout it. And you know what? If someone from a different religion is shouting it, that's what they have as belief, you would hope they would. You would hope that they would be in a spot that they believe that what they believe is the truth, and they'd shout it. Because if you were talking to them and they didn't believe that, you'd say, look, you need to come see this. You need to come over here. We need to make sure that everybody knows where we stand. Why? Not because we're good. Because we faded away. We withered. Well, because the one we're here to serve tonight, whose house this is, whose truth this is, he's greater than everything else. And we should be thankful for it. We didn't just come to worship a God that's going to be knocked over. We didn't come to worship a God that over there in Kings, that when the prophets are going to call on their God, that Elijah's going to make fun of him and say, well, maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he's on a walk. Maybe he's on a stroll. Said, no. They start to have to cut themselves to try to get their God to wake up and to come to them. Our God says, I don't need you. I don't need you to do the work in which I want done. In fact, I don't want you to have any part of it. The only part you get is you get the knowledge and the understanding of it that I did it all. That's how great our God is. He doesn't ask us and expect us to try to help him go over the finish line. Why? Because if you think that we can help one that can hold all the water in the hollow of his hand, then we think pretty big about ourselves. Then we are mistaken about where we really stand. He says, what am I supposed to proclaim? You're supposed to proclaim that the word of God will stand forever. You're supposed to proclaim that the glory of God and God himself is greater than everything else. And that's why we're here tonight. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.